Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Robots Radio presents...
You're listening to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast, the best way for everyone from experienced dungeon masters to those curious about D&D to learn more about the worlds, creatures, and lore of Dungeons & Dragons.
Hello and welcome to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. My name is Sergio.
And I am Mary.
And you are listening to the multiverse famous Patron Roundtable.
Bum, 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 bum.
A fanfare, you know, the crowd. Like, we've got a guy on stilts.
I can hear it.
Waving at people, elephants.
Women fainting in the front row because they've seen it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Swooning.
A case of the vapors.
They got the vapors.
And we are joined by a couple of our patrons, the unmistakable, the undeniable, the never replicated Darkwing and Coffee. Say hello, folks.
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. How are y'all doing?
I'm just living the dream, one nightmare at a time.
Took one out.
I believe that's the tagline to a fantastic Feywild adventure.
It is. It's just any campaign that I'm DMing.
Living the dream one nightmare at a time.
I like it.
Well, this week, because here in the States, it is the month of November, and the month of November is closely associated with the holiday of Thanksgiving, a holiday where a lot of people eat a bunch of fantastic food, the Cowboys usually play, so watch some terrible football. Mm-hmm. And I say that as a lifelong Cowboys fan. And of course, you know, take note and stock of what they are grateful for. And that's exactly what we're going to do this week, is we're going to talk about what we're grateful for in terms of Dungeons and Dragons and, you know, just tabletop role-playing games in general. And just be forewarned, this episode might get a little emotional because, you know, we are talking about the things that we are grateful for, that we have gratitude for. And so, you know, a lot of those things, especially for me speaking personally, a lot about this game has changed my life and innumerable, yep, immeasurable
100%.
ways. And you know, mm-hmm, I can never say enough about it. I mean I do a freaking podcast about D&D. That's how much I love it. So
roll the 20.
Yeah. And so,
oh my gosh, me too. Weird coincidence.
Oh, you cringe. So yeah, let's go ahead and just get started. Darkwing, as absolutely, always, you always roll high on initiative.
He does
when it comes to the Patron Roundtable. So let's start off with you, sir.
Do what I can. Thank you again for having me here. Like, you were right, this could end up being emotional. I apologize if I cry because I'm a giant baby about these kind of things.
We don't apologize for emotions here.
So D&D dropped into my life in middle school with no one to play with. I had no idea what it really was. It was the Dungeons and Dragons magazine that I'm having just a brain fart now about, but the artwork, because I guess I always fancied myself an artist, and I loved that art style, and I loved dragons, and I loved all of that, and that was just, I was always just really happy for the artwork that's come from D&D. But then it goes onward and you get into my older life, where I ended up in high school with my best friend Chris. And he got me involved with a D&D group that was very active. And we were those high school nerds, but it was such a, I say that, but we were such a group of everything. Like, I was this crazy little punk rocker, and I guess little maybe is not the word after talking with you guys this morning.
we discussed pre-show, we discussed heights, and Darkwing literally has about a foot on all of us.
Towers so, over us.
Yeah, so and, little might not be the best descriptor.
It maybe not, but okay. So I was a very big punk rocker in a very cowboy state/town. And these guys were always really opening. And like, they're just there. No big deal. Nobody cared that I had green hair and leather and spikes and a safety pin going through my nose. And just the most stereotypical punk rocker. And that group lasted for so long, and I was so close to all of those guys. And my friend Chris, who I mentioned, brought me into all of this. He passed at his own hand some time ago. Don't have to be. It's not your fault. But he was the closest person I'd had as an adult at that point, and I think fondly of him now. And he's where it all started. I kept going along, and I lost that group. That unfortunately broke our group apart, and I haven't seen those men in years. And I didn't think much about it after that. I played some D&D, and I've gotten into quite a few of the other like shoot-offs. Their tabletop like board games in the recent years have brought a lot of me and my buddies together, as we find that we just didn't have time to be D&D gaming, where we could just pull like a box out with the game and spend an evening, one shot it, have a real good time. But what I am absolutely the most thankful for is it saving my own sanity. I was involved for a very long time in the agro-industrial cattle industry, and it's not a nice place, and I've seen a lot of real death. And without the stories of Driz Dorden, which spread out to quite a bit over the last 10-ish years that I've been listening to these books, I don't know what I would have done without them. That just even in my own mind, that there was heroes that you could look up to. And maybe put aside some of the horrible things you found yourself doing in your own life. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm truly thankful for, is the sanity that's brought by a fantasy world, and knowing that there's other people that have the same morals that you wish you could stand to. And I suppose that's really all I have. I suppose if I keep going, I'm probably going to start crying.
if you keep going, like you might, yeah, I might as well.
I guess the very last thing is finding this community was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'm very thankful for D&D, because without it, I wouldn't be sitting here talking with you guys this morning. So thanks to all of you, and just even the people listening, thank you for being here right now.
Yeah, we warned you it was gonna get emotional, and yeah,
right out the gate.
Yeah, it's, you know, the thing about D&D and TTRPGs in general, and is, you know, they're like with every sort of, you know, sub community, like there's going to be some gatekeeping. There's going to be some folks that, you know, say you can't play this way or that way, or but you shut all that off. You tell them to shut up, mute them mm-hmm. on whatever social media site you're on. Yep. And you find a community that's so inclusive.
It is.
And yeah, I like you're saying, like, wow. You're, you know, this giant punk rock kid, you know, with green hair and a safety pin through your nose. I mean, you would have fit in just fine at my table. for sure.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
But you know, being a growing up a small punk rock kid, a little punk rock kid myself. But
as a neon goth, that's what I was.
But
I'm neon goth. I'm gonna look into that a little more. Okay.
But no, it's just story. It's that, you know, that sense of a community that, like, if you know, if you share the same, you know, sort of morals as we do, which is, you know, be kind to everyone, mm-hmm. like if you know, treat everyone with respect. If you want to play the game, like, you have a seat at the table.
Yep.
And yep. and fostering those relationships and yep. And nurturing that sort of camaraderie. You know, mm-hmm. I am in the middle of I was actually mentioning this earlier that I'm playing after we record, I'm playing later on the day with a group of folks that I've only met one of them in real life. He was a professor of mine and
I have those.
What's yeah, exactly. And so, and
that's what I have.
And at some point during the pandemic, he reached out to me just to see how I was doing. And he invited me to the game. And like I said, I consider these guys some of my closest friends,
mm-hmm.
even though I've never met them. And I would love to. I mean, we've talked about
too.
we've talked about getting together for a long weekend and doing mm-hmm. like, you know, a marathon session. And we might, and I would love to do that to like end the campaign, because we're doing a level 1 to 20 campaign. And so it's, you know, and we only play about, you know, every other week or so. And so it's mm-hmm. it's slow boogie, but we're pounding along. And so, yeah, I would love to do that. And but yeah, like I can't imagine, you know, too much else in this world that can foster that kind of relationship, mm-hmm. that kind of dynamic.
No, absolutely not. Nothing I've found anyway. It's actually one of my players and one of my closest friends who I've never met. They live way up north.
Canada.
The main quote that stuck out to me was, "It's the safest place I know." Yeah. Talking about D&D and being at the table, that is the safest place they know.
I love that.
I'm absolutely gonna cry, and I'm not gonna apologize for it. It's gonna happen. Like, I'm barely hanging on, just to start with.
I know Darkwing started us off hot, and
I'm coming in hard and fast.
Same. I'll start with the part that won't make me cry, and then we'll lead to it. We'll get there. Part of what I'm thankful for is the opportunities that it's brought for me. A very creative person, spent a lot of time alone as a kid and as a teenager because I was the weird one. And in the Bible Belt and being not Christian, I didn't do sports. I didn't like sports. I didn't go to church. I didn't, you know, I didn't have a favorite team. I didn't have any of those things. So it was always
here, here.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't fall in line pretty much.
I absolutely did not. I've never fallen in line. I've kicked that line in the sand so many times just to mess it up and make them have to redraw it. Like, that's how I like to exist.
Having spent quite a bit of time with you in the past few months, consider me shocked.
Me? Weird and out there? Never.
Not the Mary I know.
Of course not.
Not the Mary of the D&D lore cast.
Right. But so aside from that, you know, the opportunity to build and create, it's also put me where I am now, being able to be here, being able to have these conversations, finding something that feels like a safe place, that feels like home. And then I get to share that with other people. And then I get to create a world to bring other people into and save them, because that's the fantasy for me, is saving everyone or helping them write that story in a safe way where there's not ostracization and hatefulness and bitterness and ugliness, because I've got a lot of folks around me that face it constantly because of their orientations or how they grew up. So being able to make that and help them has been one of the parts I am the most grateful for. The other part is the people. the community, and it is just an amazing place. I've gotten to meet one of my other players in person. He had a 30-minute layover at the DFW airport, which is an hour and a half from my house. So I drove an hour and a half to give this man a hug. Like, that's literally all the time we had. We hugged him. We drove him to his next gate, hugged him again, and said bye. But I got to meet him. I got to meet my twin, Locke.
That's fantastic.
Yes. It's been amazing. The first campaign I was in is where I got to meet and talk to and grow a relationship and foster a relationship with Atticus, which is my person. I'm not sharing, by the way. All mine. I don't have to. But we got to know each other and got to become friends before we ever met, and like face to face. And so nothing greater than that, than finding someone through that happens to be the person I want to do forever with. So it doesn't get much better than that. I've had an opportunity to, my friend put it, thankful for the freedom to explore parts of ourselves that we maybe are scared to explore or unsure of, or even can't physically or mentally, to go out and do these things, these amazing things. And that safe space allows us to be close to others and tell funny or serious or heartbreaking stories. It's therapeutic for people that have experienced different types of trauma, myself included. Gives you a place to work through those things and to kind of deal with it in a safe way, that if you need to set it down for a minute to come back to it, you can. And that has been just absolutely one of the most amazing bits of it. I asked my group what they were thankful for, because I'm thankful for them. So I figured that's the best way to honor that, right? Is to share their feelings. And pretty much everyone agreed was the community. Connections. Had one that said he was thankful for monks and bards, which makes sense, because who isn't, you know? Getting able to explore who we are as people. And then one of my friends is the reason I started playing D&D in the first place. So I was already weird and ostracized, so I didn't play in high school. I didn't play until, it's been 3 years now, I think. No, 2 years. I started in 2020 was the first time that I sat down and started playing D&D. And my brain decided I loved it, so I hyperfixated.
Flabbergasted. I'm flabbergasted.
And here we are. I absorb information real easy, so made it easy for me. But I had listened to the No Sleep podcast for a while. And then one of their voice actors, Peter, works with Travis Vingroff in Dark Dice. That was the first actual play I listened to, and what pushed me over was like, no, okay, now I've got to do this, because this is cool as hell. Like, I need to, let's go, it's time, let's flip the switch. And I will finish out my little bit and then pass it off with the quote that he sent me. He said, I love D&D for all the little chances to be a version of yourself that reality provides so few opportunities to be, whether it be heroic or silly or physically different from oneself. The shared fiction becomes a shared alternate reality of genuine personal choice in a world where it's not uncommon to feel railroaded into a specific life path. When the correct chord is struck, even at its most fantastic, it still feels wholeheartedly you.
Love that. It's awesome. So,
that is what I am thankful for. And you guys, pretty awesome.
More thanks for you as well. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
We had Bjorn, another patron of the show, who was unable to make the recording, but sent in what he was thankful for. Bjorn Ironside said, you would like to say, I'm thankful for D&D in all aspects of what it can be. For the people who have come and sat down at the table and shared memories with and ideas to the actual game itself that gave everyone moments of stomach-hurting laughter and times where there was not a dry eye in the house. This is what I'm grateful for and would never change. Mm-hmm. And a friend of the show, Mello.
That's one of my best friends. That's one of the people that D&D brought me. There's not a day that passes that we don't speak to each other. Like, we're family now.
Yeah, and I love that. Like I said, like, you know, the guys that I play in this in my Age of Worms campaign, I consider them some of my closest friends.
Yep.
Mello says, I am thankful that I got to jump in and explore this hobby with people who have only gotten more important to me. I've gotten to see so much expression and enjoyment from spending time with everyone and getting to nerd out about something we all enjoy. Even when things take an unexpected turn, they've been some of my favorite moments to revisit and reminisce about. Which, really quickly, I want to say, like, not necessarily because of D&D, but I'm thankful for my partner who will stand there and politely let me tell her all about the previous night's session the next day. And, you know, with a smile on her face, just like, okay, honey, like, I'm so glad you had fun. Because that's exactly, yeah. And I'll be like, oh my gosh. And then, you know, and then Xylalore, you know, did cast, now I'm blanking on.
I'm with you. My wife, absolutely the greatest partner in the world, does the same thing. She's like, that's great, honey. No, please tell me more. And you just, damn it. And, she doesn't care. I'm going to tell her anyway, though.
And the whole time you're just like fanboying out and just like, okay.
My partner fangirls with me. He does every single time.
And then we had a couple of our friends from the Discord also chime in. Grim Vance says, I am thankful for the opportunities D&D has given me, a wonderful escape from my rather hectic day-to-day reality, a way to finally build out character ideas I've had for ages, the ability to reunite with friends I haven't caught up with in ages, and another community of wonderful people to bond with. I'm also thankful for the podcast. It helped fuel my ideas for characters and campaigns, giving me something to talk about to my friends and family about, and more. And he said, a little backstory here. I only started D&D a couple months ago. I'm currently in a campaign for Tomb of Annihilation with my first character, Stella.
Oh, that's brutal.
Commissioned art attached, and I'm reading over all the rules to actually run the campaign out of the abyss for some close friends of mine. Which is...
The artwork is beautiful, by the way.
Yeah.
If you're not in the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast channel on Robots Radio Network, it's popping.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But that art is gorgeous. I love it. Ugh.
And then also Dice Hoarder Peter, who I feel at least has one thing in common with you, Mary. You little dice goblin, you.
I do. I have so many.
He says, I am thankful that they're giving me and my players the opportunity to explore our creativity, be it with a funny or ridiculous solution to a problem, and or when they completely overthrow the things you planned out and you have to make things up on the spot, but just let it look like you anticipated everything, which I personally have never had experience with as a DM.
I feel called out and victimized.
He says, I'm also thankful that D&D brought so many new friendships and acquaintances with it when we played. People you barely knew at session one turned into dear friends by now. Mm-hmm. And an ongoing theme. Also, as the last point on my list, I am thankful that they let me captivate my players with my fondness for storytelling, especially when running Cthulhu-themed settings or when I lead another bunch of clueless people into the dark corners of Ravenloft.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Mm-hmm. Well said.
Very much so. I'm thankful for lenient DMs as well. DMs that are here for the rule of cool, because if someone can argue it to me, even if it doesn't match the rules as written, but it's going to make a good moment, I'm in. Let's go.
Even if it's not, you know, raw, even if it's not rules as written, if it makes sense, if it's logical,
we can make it make sense.
Yeah, if we can look, no, we can make it make sense.
We'll make it.
Oh boy, you are very goblin-esque. That is true. We can make it make sense. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
We'll clean it up and post. It's fine.
We're going to take a quick little break to get to the middle of the show so we can thank our patrons, talk some news, and check out the DMs Guild. But when we get back, you'll hear from Coffee and myself about what we're thankful for. Welcome to the middle of the show, where we thank our patrons, talk about some recent D&D happenings and news, and of course, take a peek into the DM's Guild to see what kind of homebrew shenanigans we can get into.
Do love homebrew shenanigans.
First and foremost, thank you to each and every one of our patrons for financially supporting the show, for helping make the show bigger and better in many ways that we wouldn't be able to do without this kind of support. You know, we're looking at getting the magic items of the week title tentative, depending on you know, everything about it's still tentative, but we're going to release that in 2023 on the DM's Guild. All the various homebrew magic items of the week, the homebrew NPCs, the weapons of legacy that Crit and myself created in that episode. We're going to start commissioning artists to create the art, and we're going to put it together, and I'm excited for it. I cannot wait.
We're in the beginning phases of getting it together. I'm also, so excited.
Also commissioning artwork for new merchandise. Yes. We've already got one done, and we've talked about it a little bit, and it's we are so happy with
so
it.
So good.
And we cannot wait to show everyone else. Thank you much. So thank you so much to the patrons for doing that, for supporting the show in that way. If you're interested in doing so, you can go to patreon.com/dndlorecast and sign up anywhere from $5 a month to $75. Mm-hmm. They all have different benefits, different perks that come along with it, from being able to get episodes of the show ad-free and a day early to bonus content, the Patron Plus installments, the bonus episodes, to merchandise, to workshops with Mary and or myself, where we can sit down with you to help you flesh out your homebrew adventure, to help you build characters, to help you play the game, to help you to teach you to play the game, or even we'll run a one-shot for you and your friends. Or one of us will, you know, play with you for one session as a guest character, and all that stuff is available on the website. And Mary, if they're not able to get onto Patreon, how else can they support the show?
Oh gosh, you can find us on Twitter at @DNDLorecast. You can find us on the Robots Radio Network Discord. There is a channel for us on there, the Dungeons and Dragons Lorecast. There is so much there. It's worth just going and checking out for any reason. You can also just shoot us an email at dndlorecast@gmail.com. And we are always ready and always willing to talk about D&D.
You're never going to wrench our arms to talk about D&D. It's always at the forefront of my mind.
Yeah, you'd have to twist our arms to make us not.
Right. It'd be like,
and
okay,
even then,
you're going to have to stop. I'd rather probably lose an arm.
I might lose an arm. I can still talk without an arm.
Yeah, it's fine. That's absolutely fine.
Maybe. I gesture a lot. I might not be able to. I guess we'll find out.
And as far as D&D news is concerned, we've got a couple of different items. One of which is that we know that there is a D&D movie coming out next March, D&D Honor Among Thieves. But they're also working on a live-action D&D TV show. And that is being helmed by the gentleman known as Rawson Marshall Thurber, who had his hands in the movie Central Intelligence, starring The Rock and Kevin Hart, We're the Millers, Dodgeball. But the future of the show is a bit in limbo. They're still very much confident that it will get made. However, the studio that was at it, that was responsible for it, Hasbro, is actually selling it. And so it's the article from comicbook.com says that the show is being shopped to potential buyers, you know, platforms like Netflix or other television networks that would air the program, and had even garnered bids from interested parties. But that process was, quote, interrupted by Hasbro's announcement that it was planning to sell the studio. But despite that, they're still, like I said, very confident that the show will get picked up somewhere. One, because, I mean, the script, they said, was good. I mean, it was a solid show. And two, like Dungeons and Dragons, the brand, the IP is that well known and that important that,
yeah,
you know, it's something that would be, they'd be hard pressed to pass up. And additionally, like I said, you know, they said that Ross and Marshall Thurber is an exciting piece of talent. So all three of those things combined make it sound like, you know, it's not a matter of if, but when. And so that's exciting because, you know, hopefully we are living in a literal deluge of like fantasy content between Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings and Wheel of Time.
I'm so happy.
It's like what every like, you know, high school, like, you know, nerd, you know, teenage nerd back in the gap would have wanted. And I love it.
So good.
And then we also, a piece of merchandise was brought to our attention, which Mary immediately just began fawning over.
It's true. It's so cute. And I need it. I need it to sit next to Moloch on the shelf. WizKids has revealed a life-size pseudo-dragon familiar statue. This little guy is like laid down, all curled up with his little head resting on his tail. He's so cute. But yeah, they revealed it is a collectible in its line of life-size statues. It's in the next entry in its familiars line. So it is the size of a house cat, approximately. And I need it. Who doesn't need a pseudo dragon? Like, I have all these dice. I need to, like, I would totally use him as a dice bowl. Oh my gosh. Now I have a purpose for it. See, I've just convinced myself to buy it, telling you guys about it.
Like, you just needed the justification.
I did. And now I have one. So it's fine.
Yeah. One of the photos has it curled up on the Dungeon Master's Guide. So it, and it pretty much takes up the entire book. So, it's pretty sizable. I think it's, you can pre-order it now for $99.99.
It is set to release. Mm-hmm. It's set to release March 2023. And it says, according to WizKids, it's curled up in a cozy ball and ready to doze on any mantle, bookshelf, or coffee table. It's roughly 14 inches long, is latex and soft foam. And you can pre-order it.
Yeah, it looks cool. I mean, like I said, it definitely look awesome on any shelf. And it's going to look awesome on my shelf, I'm sure, because I won't be able to help myself either.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to. You have to.
You must. It's a necessity.
If I must, I must.
Speaking of things that are a necessity.
Yes.
Going to the DMs Guild and checking out what they have available is, I do it at least several times a week just to see like what's going on, stuff that like I've had my eye on and then it goes on sale and now I have like zero excuse to not buy it. This week, because we're talking about gratitude and being thankful because of the holiday of Thanksgiving, I'm going to recommend the Turkey Snatcher from Elven Tower. It says, it's Thanksgiving time and it is high time you go on another adventure. A madman has stolen all the turkeys from the town's barn. Who will be valiant enough to chase him and recover the missing livestock? And it's fantastic. It's got 4.5-star rating. It's a short adventure for Thanksgiving, but it says it's highly fun any time of the year. It's got a fantastic map of the Turkey Snatcher's lair. And better than all that, it's absolutely free. You can go on to DM's Guild, pick it up for free, run a quick little one-shot adventure, you know, few hours with friends, family, whoever it may be, and just have some fun. And what's great about Elven Tower is that they actually create maps for various cities. Like, they have maps of Phandalin, they have maps of Baldur's Gate, they have maps of Neverwinter. And so Darkwing had mentioned earlier that his the campaign he was running, his party's running through Waterdeep right now, and it's going to be one of those things that would come very, very much in handy for for players that, you know, are very visual and want to be able to see like where they're going and what they're doing. So definitely check it out. Link, of course, in the show notes. And that being said, let's go ahead and jump back into the show.
I've finally got myself to stop crying. Let me grab some more tissues and hear from both of you.
Absolutely. Let's go. Welcome back as we continue to discuss what we are grateful for in regards to D&D, Dungeons & Dragons, and just tabletop role-playing games in general. We've already shed a few tears, gone down memory lane. Coffee, what do you got for us? What are you grateful for? What are you thankful for when it comes to this game?
So I'm thankful for that because I'm able to just play with some friends I met at work. My first job, I was able to play with them for a few months. That was nice.
Yeah, like you're able to, you know, continue those relationships beyond the workplace. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, like you, like that's kind of been an ongoing theme that you make, that you nurture and grow these relationships that you otherwise wouldn't have. Anything else? Anything else you're grateful for? You're always the one, the man of few words. You're very stoic and to the point and direct.
Oh my gosh, he is a dwarf.
The man with no name.
You are a dwarf. We were talking pre-show, we're talking heights. And we said that Coffee would either be the halfling, but he's got this great big beard. And I was like, well, actually more dwarf. But personality-wise, you're more of a dwarf. We've got that's our party.
Probably because I played for like a few months and that was it. I haven't played much less than all of you guys. So,
well, I mean, I love the fact that, you know, in the past couple of years, and you know, obviously the pandemic was, you know, something that we wish had not happened. But one good thing that came out of it was that, you know, we were able to connect online with, you know, people that we otherwise wouldn't have and play this game with.
Yeah.
And that also attracted a lot more players, you know, folks that like, I'm stuck inside the house. Like, what can I do? Like, I'll try this.
Absolutely.
I'll try this weird game that I saw the nerd kids on Stranger Things playing. They seem pretty excited about it. It might be fun.
Absolutely. That's actually how I started playing, was October of 2020.
I've actually never seen that show.
Been locked down. A lot of people had
me either. Coffee. I've never seen one episode.
Yeah,
it's
like
one of my favorite shows. I've actually seen that. There we go.
that's an ongoing.
That's the one show that I've seen. That
Mary is like, oh, I haven't seen that. Oh, I haven't heard.
I will write this on the calendar. Mary saw this show.
It's true. I've watched a lot of Stranger Things. I actually bought the Wizards of the Coast version of the Thessal Hydra campaign I have it. I want to run it on people at some point. I just haven't. So many ideas, so little time.
Oh yeah, for sure. And all these new folks that have come into the fold, you know, again, like there is a subsection of the community that is very gatekeepery.
They are very toxic.
That's everywhere though.
Exactly.
Those guys are always the biggest jerks.
You know, for me, it's like, hey, the more the merrier. Like, I love it. And like the thing about new players is that they often come with, obviously, like they don't have any biases or any sort of like preconceived ideas. So they come up with some of the best idea, like some of the best solutions.
Absolutely. Some fresh eyes on it. It's always neat to see different perspectives and to get to see what drives people. Because you can also see a lot about a person's motivation in the way that they play. And you can also tell that they're exploring different parts of their personality. Like for me, it was parts of me that I had to tuck away. I had to hide away. I was too much. I was too loud. I was too hyper, too noisy, too this, too that, too weird. And
too much.
I got called too much a lot, but getting to be these other little characters, these other aspects of who I am, has actually made me more comfortable and has helped with a lot of, like I said, a lot of trauma healing. Didn't come from a good childhood, didn't come from a good relationship. Like my marriage was awful. And this has helped, like these are the people that have helped me heal from 15 years of abuse.
Therapy and dice in math.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and math. I love math. That shit don't change. It's always exact. But yeah, that's 100% worth it. Sergio, what are you grateful for, sir? It's your turn to make us cry.
Oh, I'm going to make myself cry just thinking about it.
Good. Join the clan. We're all crying over here, damn it.
First and foremost, I am thankful for this show. I've always been a fan of lore. I've always been a fan of mythology, which is why, like, you know, I was utterly obsessed with the Elder Scrolls game and utterly obsessed with the in-game books that you could find or steal in the game. I was so obsessed with collecting all the books and literally like sitting in front of my TV screen and reading them that if I found one that I didn't have in the game and I had to steal it, I would steal it and then I would go and sell it to my fence and then buy it back from him so that it didn't show up as stolen in my inventory. So like guards wouldn't stop me and be like, hey, you have stolen, you know, goods. The first thing I did in Skyrim was, you know, once they released the DLC to build homes, was the first add-on I built was a library so I could house all my books. And so when I discovered this podcast, when, you know, Tom and Stuart had started it, immediately that's my community. That's for me right there. Mm-hmm. And so unbelievably grateful and humbled that, you know, I was asked to take over the reins along with Crit, you know, when they were stepping down. And, you know, and Aaron and I were able to do the show for a while. He unfortunately had to step back due to, you know, other obligations that he had. And I'm grateful that my community was such that it didn't take long for me to find someone, you know, equally as amazing to join me on this journey in Mary.
We're all happy to have her.
And yeah, I have nothing but good things to say about Mary and of course, then, you know, the patrons, the folks that literally give us coin, literally give us gold and silver to make this show bigger and better. And the listeners, every person listening to this right now, or any person that has listened to an episode that, you know, invites us into their life, you know, 1 hour at a time. You know, the fact that, you know, I played a game a few years back with a group of friends, one of which has passed now as well. And when I, you know, back in September of last year, when I took over, I messaged them all and I said, like, hey, like, remember how we used to play this silly game a few years back? I actually am doing a podcast now about it. And, you know, like this is literally a dream come true. Being able to do this show, being able to talk to other people about something that I love so much that, you know, Mary and I talked about it. It's, you know, like my brain is specifically like built for this sort of thing. Like I get so hyper fixated on, you know, things that I obsess over. You know, it's nothing for me to start doing research into, you know, some character or some campaign setting and then realize like, oh, I've forgotten to go to sleep. It's 3 a.m. and I have to be up in a few hours.
No, you're it's wrong. 9 p.m. That's where the best ideas come from.
It's 9 p.m. and I haven't eaten today.
Right.
Why do I have a headache? Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to eat and drink water.
Like water is very important.
And so, you know, this being able to do this show is literally a dream come true. And like I mentioned earlier, the relationships that I've gained as a result of it, you know, I wouldn't trade for anything. you know, and I feel like we're on the precipice of something even bigger, you know, as we have so many great ideas for the future for this show. True. And, you know, the support that we're getting from the patrons, from the listenership, from the Discord, from Twitter, from social media in general, you know, if Twitter will be around by the next roundtable, but who knows? You know, it's been so incredible, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for the ability to tell stories. I've always been a storyteller. Yes. I've always wanted to not be the center of attention, but I've always wanted to be able to bring people joy. Or make people feel something, not even just joy, like just make them feel something.
To feel something, and you know that it's genuine, and that you've created it together.
Right. And so yes. I love writing, and I love being able to just the fact that, you know, being able to write something and convey an emotion and have another person who may not even know you feel that is something that, you know, I'm able to do through D&D and through TTRPGs. I mean, yeah, like, you know, there's moments of gut-bursting laughter, and there's moments of, you know, heart-wrenching agony. And this game has literally given me so much and has changed my life in so many ways.
Absolutely.
That, you know, I would recommend a tabletop role-playing game to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely anybody.
And the last thing I want to say that I'm grateful for is, I mean, it sounds kind of cheesy and kind of corny, but like, I'm grateful for the art. Like, I do not have an artistic bone in my body. If I had one talent, you know, like I could say like, oh, I'd want to like play guitar, you know, like every girl loves the guy playing the guitarist. But I wish I could draw. I wish I had that talent, because, you know, I see the books that come out, not just the official Wizards of the Coast, you know, releases, but the stuff on the DMs Guild.
Yeah.
And I think this stuff is just so amazing. It's so incredible. And I mean, that's half the fun. Like half of these books could just operate as like coffee table books. In fact,
they are,
aren't they?
Thanks.
I was at a drive, at a drive-in movie one time, like 15 years ago. And I was there with a friend and her two boys, and they were like 4 and 5 at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a double feature. And so we had about 30 minutes between the movies. And I'm thinking like, okay, how the heck am I all going to entertain these like two like rascals, you know, mm-hmm. for 30 minutes. And I just happen to have my Monster Manual with me in the car. Never leave home without it.
Isn't that where everyone keeps it?
At least one copy for sure. And so I just like, so I, you know, flip it open and just start, you know, showing them, and they're like, they're captivated. They're, mm-hmm. they're wanting to know what they do, if they're a good guy or a bad guy. At one point their mom, they're like, mom, look at this one. And she says, oh, he looks like he doesn't bathe. And then after that, they want to know if each one bathes or not. And so I feel that should be added to the stat block. Bathes, yes, no, you know, infrequently.
A scent rating? They need a smell
I'm
rating.
I'm adding that to my
I need a smell rating on my monsters now. I haven't had my Monster Manual for months. My daughter has it because she's been using it to create art because she's an artist.
Lucky,
I am not.
Lucky her. Yeah.
I know.
I'm with your daughter. That's how I got into this in the first place, is the art. And I thought I was an artist. I am an artist, but that's not the point. But Art brings, I think art brought a lot of us into this, honestly. Yeah. Well,
it's very reminiscent of, my dad had a lot of coffee table books of Boris Vallejo, his art. And as soon as I started seeing it, I was like, oh no, this is, so there's that nostalgia comfort. Hey, this reminds me of my dad.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So that absolutely plays into it. I wish I could draw the stuff that goes on, the shenanigans. Like, oh, I want to draw shenanigans scenes.
I want to draw.
Don't worry about it. You guys write. You write the stuff.
I do. Yeah.
That's just as artistic as anything you could ever put on paper.
That's true. One of our most recent sessions, I improvised the last hour and a half of it. It was a 2-hour session, 30 minutes. They went through everything I was ready for. So we just winged it. It's that creativity, community. Ah, it's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
No. I didn't get here sooner.
I was clapping and then just realized I was on mute.
No, yeah, that's the one, that my one regret is that I didn't start playing this game sooner than I did. Because, you know, now, like, I, you know, even when I started playing, like, you know, I had a regular, you know, full-time job, 9-to-5, and, you know, adult, I was, you know, all pretty much an adult. And so, like, I had those adult responsibilities. Had I been playing, you know, at the same age as these Stranger Kids, I would have.
That's us. We are the Stranger Kids.
I would have, you know, I would have been playing this game nonstop. I would have never stopped playing this game.
Yep, I ventured into it. Actually, the first campaign that I played was with Mello, our friend Lex, and with Atticus. We were all members of this campaign. So Mello and I were friends for a little bit before it. But then when we started creating characters and making backstories and like plot lines and stuff, like, that's my go-to, like one of my go-to people to go through any of it with. And I can't imagine this journey without these people, though. It's so worth it.
And Darkwing, you, let's go ahead and wrap up really quickly, thanking Darkwing and Coffee for joining us and everyone who wrote in to let us know what they're thankful for. Darkwing, you mentioned a friend that
I did. And he's older than all of us, and he's been around, he's seen the absolute full evolution of this game. He was young enough to see Iron Maiden live in 1980. I asked him if he had anything he wanted me to say this morning, and all he had to say was that he was just grateful for 42 years of friends and fun. And I think that really puts a cap on everything we've been trying to say this morning. And I just want to thank you guys again for having me, up with me. And I look forward to so much more from you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you to your friend. Yeah, 42 years of friends and fun. I mean, there's just about nothing I'd rather do for fun than D&D. And everyone I play with, I consider a friend.
Agreed.
So thank you so much for listening to this very special, very emotional episode of the D&D Lorecast Patron Roundtable Edition. My name is Sergio.
And I am Mary.
Fare thee well, dear listener, dear friends. And until we meet again, may all your 20s be natural.
Thanks for listening to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider sharing it with a friend, following us on Twitter at DNDLorecast, or jumping on the Robots Radio Discord to chat more with us about Dungeons & Dragons. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at RobotsRadio.com.